Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, man. How's everything with you?
It's going good. Just got through not too long ago cooking on the grill.
Yeah. All is well on this end.
It's good.
I take it we're waiting for Ray?
Yeah, at first I got kicked out, and then the second time I called in, I got kicked out. Now I'm on.
Right. Well, why don't we do this while we're waiting for Ray to come on? Why don't we go ahead and open up in prayer, and we can at least get started, and I'm sure he'll be joining in shortly.
Okay, no problem.
Most gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship around your word. We thank you for the topic on tonight. We thank you for each and every person that's a part of this show, Elston, Tyrone and Ray and Anthony and Antonio. We thank you that it is well with them, Father. We thank you for those that are listening in, Father. We pray that a word that will be sown on tonight will make an impact into someone's life, that someone will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and their lives will be better for the more, Father. We thank you that we're not just hearers of the word, Father, but that we're doers also of the word. And for that, we give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, how's your month been?
Oh, man. It's been pretty relaxed. Actually, right now with my nonprofit, my wife and I now, all of our original board members, they have served their time, so we're interviewing different people to join the board for the next 2 years, and it's kind of funny in this time. We couldn't host any events, of course, with COVID-19. We've been doing some fundraisers on social media. We've been trying to do some things online. We actually donated some care boxes that we provide through our services to a hospital in Baltimore for couples who experience pregnancy and infant loss. So we're finding ways to get things done. But for the most part, I have been taking the past couple of weeks of reorganizing our strategic plan. I'm actually in the process of starting to write our business plan. And just putting some standard operating procedures in place so that when the next board comes in, they can start taking a look at those different artifacts and, you know exactly what we're trying to accomplish. So it's, you know, I truly thank God because would we have the opportunity to do this if everything was normal? You know, no.
Right.
So, you know, it's amazing that God would just put a pause on everything so that you could regroup and refocus on the most important things.
Yeah, that has been kind of amazing that during this time of isolation, so to speak. Don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, I think it's certainly given me and my family an opportunity to reflect on what's important. You know, my wife and I, with our nonprofit, you know, in trying to, you know, it's put a little limitations on it, but it's also given us an opportunity to go back to the drawing board and to make sure that what we're doing and how we're doing it, you know, lines up with the vision that God gave us in the very beginning. You know, and I think I stated a few shows ago, sometimes you just got to go for it, you know, and even when you don't have the answer and you know that God has placed something on your heart or placed this vision in you to do, you know, I think a lot of times we get focused on, you know, putting our hand to it and trying to make it happen and trying to, you know, get things going. And what we really should be doing is having our ear tuned to hear from God and just trusting Him to allow us to do what He's called us to do in the way that He's called us to do it. And you know, we know that He's not the author of confusion, and He's not going to participate in the mess.
Oh yeah, you're right about that.
So the last time we were on, we were talking about you know, being black in America, and I thought we had a really good in-depth discussion with the time that's you know, I think one of, and I don't remember that maybe you remember the way Ray posed that last question that I think that we was talking about, and I think I'm pretty sure it had something to do that about how we would, what would we do if we were in a situation of potential conflict. And I think all of us had some pretty interesting answers. And I don't know if that's something that we just want to follow up on. I'm not sure if Ray has joined in yet or not.
Yeah, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can.
Okay. Yeah.
Good to hear you.
Yeah,
good to hear me.
I ended up having to call from my cell phone, man. But yeah, it's all good. We're going to continue on. But, yeah, we can continue on with that. And I did add a couple other things. I think the last thing we talked about, and I don't know if we want to get back into detail, I think we talked about it enough with Candace Owens. You probably don't want to give her too much play.
Oh.
Like that.
You know, I didn't remember that part.
Yeah, again, nothing against the young lady. I think she's very smart, very articulate, and everything. And it just we just have some difference of opinion when it comes to Black Lives Matter, okay?
Yeah.
And everything. Yeah. So, but we, yeah, the other thing was that we definitely got to keep in mind, how would you deal with someone that's showing hatred or ill feeling because of the color of your skin, man? That's a real thing for all of us, as men and women of color, you know. Especially, since the last time that we talked, guys, I mean, all kinds of stuff have taken place, man. There have been more shootings and killings, and I guess they call them Karens, more Karens.
Yeah.
People call the police for no reason, you know, and stuff like that, just because they, you know, don't fit in the area and stuff. So, but we can continue on. I do have some controversial things we're going to talk about within the hour, okay? And this is for the Redskins, the only Redskins fan in the house. You know, and that's the Redskins name change. Huh?
I don't know why I had to bring that up, man.
That's a high profile thing going on right now.
The Redskins name change, and just a lot of different other things. School started called Norris, and of course, always going back, everything ties back into faith. So, wherever y'all want to start first, you want to continue on where we left off with someone hating you because of the color of your skin, we can do that too.
Yeah. Did you have any business you need to take care of before we formally start?
You know what? Actually, I was on, and I'll do that at the end because we saw they get started on my part. it's my fault and everything. So I do that at the end with the weekly broadcast and everything. I know that you already did prayer and everything. So we can just go on. We can just move forward. I know Reverend Efton is not with us today. I mean, Brother Efton is not with us. I'm not sure about Brother Tyron and stuff. He's still recuperating. God has just blessed that young man, you know, Cleopas.
Yeah, man.
It was. He come a long way, man. So
God is good.
Prayer.
He's faithful, man. Lord,
I Brother Tony, I know that I show you know that. Yeah, he was in the hospital with the virus for a while, and everything. And I already told him he got to come on and tell his testimony, man. Just tell everything. You know, he's come a long way, and everything. So we're grateful for God for keeping him and for saving him, man. The prayer works, you know what I mean?
Yes, it does.
Prayer of the righteous, man, availeth much, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, prayer of the righteous availeth much. So, what's first? Let's go with something fun, okay? Unless you got more to add to the color of the skin. Being hated because of the color of your skin.
Okay.
All right. Anybody?
Say that again.
Okay. Hang on, I'm talking about that. Anyone have anything to add or an experience of being hated or feeling like you're being hated or attacked because of the color of your skin?
Yeah,
I've experienced that in the workplace. You know, given the fact that some situations I have been the only person of color in a meeting room. With a bunch of, you know, dare I say, old white guys, you know, that generally feel like I should not be in the room with them. So, mind you, I have all the credentials, you know, to be in that room. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in there. But just not given the proper opportunity to really participate in some situations. You know, it was hurtful at first, but, you know, I began to develop thick skin, and I just assumed that's part of the territory. And, you know, but it's sad that you have to have that mindset of, hey, this is just going to be, you know, this is just how it is, versus, hey, I'm going in here, and I'm an equal contributor to what decisions need to be made. So... it's frustrating, and you know, I tell my older son, he's experienced this as well, and I tell him you have to think high, you know, when they go low, you know, and you have to keep pressing forward and let your work speak for itself.
I think we all have experienced, you know, something in our lives. I mean, I can vividly remember crossing the street because our service department and our sales department at my former place of employment was on two opposite sides of the street. And I can vividly remember crossing the street one day, and I got my suit on, I got my tie on, I'm looking good, I'm sharp, you know, not vain, but I was sharp. And this woman, this Caucasian woman, was in a Lincoln Continental. And as I'm approaching the front of her car across the street, she looks at me and she reaches down and she locks her doors. And, you know, I can remember thinking, like, you know, what are you thinking I'm going to do to you? I'm crossing the street. I'm you know, you're in your car. What am I doing? What am I going to do? I got my suit on. You know, I don't look like, you know, somebody that, you know, in my mind, I'm not looking like somebody that's going to rob anybody. You know? And, I feel like it was yesterday. You know, and so it's experiences like that I think, you know, will stick in your mind. And then at a time like this, when there's so much division in our country and racism is at an all-time high, where, you know, people are showing it and it's not hidden, you know, it brings back thoughts like that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, a lot of us have experienced, you know, walking in a particular place, like across the street or waiting for a stop, waiting for the bus or subway, whatever, and you have someone lock the car doors.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have someone lock the car door. And unfortunately, that's probably both good for black and white, you know.
Yeah.
You're
gonna, yeah.
You know, and you go like, really?
Or even, you know, here, you know, riding on the metro train. You know, just get on the metro and then you see someone just all of a sudden just hug their purse and just look at you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like, really? I'm just getting on the train just to get to where I need to get to. But, you know, that, you know, and I have to say, too, in that instance, there's been some times when I've seen, you know, some guys, you know, like me, get on the train, and they look like they're a little suspect, and I'd be like, oh, here we go. You know, I try to, if they're listening, you know, if they come on the train loud or if they're, you know, just doing the most, I'll at least say, hey, guys, you know, just try to be respectful for everybody else on the train, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And generally they'll calm down and they'll make everyone else at ease a little bit.
Right.
So,
right.
So it's just a matter of just taking the time to just try to minimize as much as possible, because just like you said, there are people now just calling 911 on people, and they're just like sitting at a bench, or they're sitting in their car, they're bird watching, or, you know, just
right. Or at the pool, at their own pool, in their own
yeah.
They got the key and everything and live there, and they get called off. It's wild out there. It's wild out here and everything. You know, and, you know, while you were talking, Brother Tony, I was thinking that, I said, society has gotten to a point where, regardless of race, but at the same time, dealing with race, even if you see someone of a different color, like a white person or whatever, that's looking questionable, you know, because that trust factor is just not there anymore, you know.
Right.
Even though whether it's warranted or not, in most cases it's not, you know. But we should be aware of our surroundings, I don't think none of us are saying we should be aware of our surroundings. But like Cleopatra said, man, look, if I got on a two-piece suit that costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars, you know, what, and I'm walking across the street, what are the chances of me having a desire to carjack you? You know, the chances are very slim. You know? But that's something, a lot of that comes from unfortunately, a lot of that comes from the media and what the media presents that with us as a race. And that's just a small minority of us that's like that. You know, majority of us are law-abiding citizens. We have needs and desires. We work like crazy, you know. And to be able to get to look at that part, the part that we have the gifts and the talent in them, we're successful and we have the same mass and we care about our family like anybody else cares for their family. You know,
right.
The thing, to change the mindset might take some doing and stuff. So, all right. Anything?
No, that's
good. That's good,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Cleveland.
No, waiting on you.
Okay. All right, my screen just went dark on me. There we go. All right, and so we just want to tell just people just be mindful of your surrounding, and I think when Brother Tony said it best and stuff like that, when we was growing up, Brother Tony and Cleophas and stuff like that, we just took it. You know, we just accepted it. It's like, okay, well, that's just the way it's gonna be. Because they look at me because I ain't supposed to be here. But now, this generation now, they not just taking it.
Yeah,
they're
that's true.
They're not. We didn't really, we just ignored it and moved on and kept on moving and did what we're supposed to do. This generation wants more and stuff like that. So that's something that is good. Just support them, you know, and everything. So let's go a little bit deeper with this, okay? You guys, if you want to share with me, you can and everything, because this is a public forum and everything. But there's a lot of discussion about the different statutes that's coming down. And all this ties back into being black in America, you know, mm-hmm. and with the history of slavery and all that kind of. There's a lot of discussion with the different statutes that come in. And I've heard both sides and everything. But my point is that I guess the main thought is that if you go overseas to Germany there's no statues of Hitler in the Nazi anywhere, you know,
right.
and it was intentionally did that, you know, and stuff like that, you know. I do understand about the part of it being history, okay? I believe that we should probably look at history, but should it be in another venue rather than like in a museum or something like that? And yes, just tell me what you feel, if you want to share, and not we can continue to go on and stuff, okay?
You know, I'll be very candid. I'm not sure how I feel about it. You know, I mean,
right.
some of those statues. Not that I identify with them, but I do because they've been there, you know, all of my life.
Right.
You know, now you hear, you kind of know, you know, some of the stuff, but now you hear more in detail of what some of those things meant, and you almost, you know, I kind of almost feel like, you know, man, it was just throwing that right up in our face, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, it was there when I was born. It's right. been there. Most of those statues have been there for a majority of my life or my whole entire life, and it's kind of like, you know, when you're exposed to something, and that whatever you're exposed to, it's there. It's every day, and it becomes, you know, like, you know, it's there. And You know it's there, but you're not really paying attention to it, kind of, if that makes sense. And so, you know, it's tearing them down. The right thing to do is, you know, should they be bought down because, you know, there was a legislation or some agreement that says, hey, we're taking these things down. You know, again, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. You know, I don't think I feel, quite frankly, I don't think I feel one way or another whether they were there or not.
Right.
That was in another time and era. That if I was living in that time and era, maybe I would be more affected than I am now. Not that I don't want I want to dismiss, you know, what happened in the past and that kind of thing. But at some point, you know, we as a people, we have to move forward and stop looking back. It's impossible to drive a car when you're looking in your rearview mirror without hitting something. I firmly believe that if we're going to get to where we want to go as a people, and when I say as a people, I'm inclusive, you know, of everyone that's relative to the body of Christ. You know, we can't keep looking back. You know, I can't. There's absolutely nothing I can do to go back and change what's already happened. I can make our situation better today by my actions and how I interact with others. I can't go back and fix slavery. It happened, you know, do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it, but it happened. It's a part of who we are, you know, and as long as I live and I don't think I'm going to change races.
Right.
I don't have a choice in that matter. God created me this way. And you know, the scripture says that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, and I'm the head and not the tail, above and never beneath. So, you know, that's how I identify myself now. So I hope that makes sense.
No, it did. I want to real quick, Tony, before you get started, you know, what we got to realize, and that I know that I just lost that train. But I realized that one thing that we need to understand, because it seemed to be, I think Cleopas, I want to talk about his age, but I know for me, I can speak my age. We grew up with those things around us. And we understood, but at the same time, again, it came to a place where we felt like, okay, whatever, and moved on, you know. including some of the army bases, you know, that I was stationed in and stuff like that. I didn't really think about it and stuff like that, you know. And I don't know whether the answer is, I'm like you, not sure what the answer is, but I know that there seemed to be, I guess this is my point. If taking them down, what would that change other than just taking them down?
Right.
It's not going to change the history.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would that affect us if they come down? What takes place then? What's that? I mean, in other words, for me, I think that we at a place in the time and that we need to get to the meat of it, you know, and stop just going around the surface of everything, but just get down to the core of what's really truly going on in this country and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's a good step. If they want to do that, I'm either yay or yay, it doesn't matter. You know, don't matter to me and stuff like that. I understand the concept, but at the same time, what's next? Okay, you take down the statues, what's next? Go ahead, Brother Tony.
Yeah, that's the same point that I have. It's, okay, if you take the statues down, okay, now what? Well, what's the direct result with that? And I think it, to be honest with you, I think taking down the statues takes away from the overall reason why we have this huge push for Black Lives Matter, is to take
right.
down the systematic racism that's been in existence in this country for hundreds of years. And, you know, I don't, one of the things that I told my wife is that I don't want us to start losing momentum and then all of a sudden we start focusing on different things that really don't pertain
right.
to what we really need to focus on, and then all of a sudden it starts to die out and then everyone is okay with everything until the next, you know,
right.
killing
right.
Or,
right.
or the next act of racism happens and then everyone gets back in arms again. So
right. Right.
I just, you know, I love the fact that, you know, some of the athletes like LeBron James, he teamed up with several other people to make sure that people register and vote and actually go and
yeah.
vote. I think
yeah.
that's one of the key things that we have to do to start eliminating and get these bozos, you know, out of Congress. Because,
right.
you know, that's the only way we're going to really start to drive change from a legislative policy standpoint, because if we don't go and vote, if we don't go out and express, you know, how we feel and the change that we want in a constructive and meaningful way, tearing down a statue is only a temporary feel-good moment, but it's not going to change anything that's
mm.
happening.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's tearing down a statue is going to bring economic development in the neighborhood. You know, if they're going to make, they have to give the ability for people not to have health care and those things are important. And not to be like someone that they have a discussion about whether what statue they're going to, and then deciding what statue should come down, you know, and what particular statue. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I think we got to be aware of distractions. You know, when you go through scripture, you know, number one, Satan always attacks your identity with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's he consistently attacks your identity, and then he wants you to focus on, you know, as a believer, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, but he constantly brings up your past, and the scripture says that God has forgotten your past. You're born again. He's thrown that for as far as the east is to the west, your past. So Satan wants you to focus on your past. And then he brings up distractions, you know, in your life to try to get you off the course that God has set you on. So we got to be careful of distractions and people putting stuff or the media or whomever is bringing stuff up to get us off of what we really should be focused on. And that's what I kind of look at these statues that are being pulled down and you know, these riots and all that stuff. It's a distraction. Now you get focused on, you know, and I'm not saying I'm not with Black Lives Matter, because I am, but I'm not with the movement, because the movement isn't biblical. You know?
Right.
The principle of of what Black Lives Matter stands or means is what I'm with. I'm not with this the movement thing because, you know, and it truly disturbs me that we will fight and riot when it's white on black, but 11-year-old boy get killed in the street, and it's quiet as church mouse. Ain't nobody saying
right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, NAACP, yeah. You don't hear the people that are always in the forefront. You ain't hear nothing from them. You got people getting murdered at a record rate in Chicago, and you hear nothing. But as soon as
right.
There's a white on black, so you know, and again, I'm with the, I'm not with the movement. I'm with the principle of Black Lives Matter. But if Black Lives truly matter, do they matter to us?
Right.
So if we want change, then we have to have substantial change, not just in words. There has to be action. There has to be a corresponding action that comes along with it. And you hit the nail on the head with with voter registration. But more importantly, we got to get understanding. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it's verse 7, it says wisdom is the principal thing.
Yes.
Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding. Because the only thing that we really truly get to keep in life is what we understand, that which we understand. So if I don't understand, if I'm going to vote and my parents have voted forever for, you know, Democrats, so I'm voting for Democrat and I don't understand or I don't have understand of who I'm voting for, I might be voting the same joker in that we're trying to vote out.
Yeah.
So I got to get some understanding of who I'm voting for. Am I voting because I'm aligned to this party, I'm aligned to that party? Or am I doing my homework and finding out what does this person really stand for that I'm voting for? And
certainly,
you know, I'm not voting because someone's the same skin color as me because they can get me in trouble too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's important that we get understanding. Because truly, that's the only thing we get to keep in life is what we understand. If we don't understand it, that's why the scripture says, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." You know, and so we as a people, we've got to do better,
right, in
understanding some of these things and understanding, you know, about voting, understanding how to learn about the candidates and getting the right information on the candidates. So that we can make an informed decision on who we're putting in office.
Right. And to make sure that they're not sugarcoating things, you know, because
absolutely.
We know that they
have
a tendency to say one thing but believe in something entirely different just to get you
absolutely.
Going, you know. I always classify myself as an independent, you know, that I'm not looking at whether Democrat or a Republican or whether, but more of an independent, because then I want to be able to look and see, you know, with my own conviction, you know, for me, which direction I'm going to vote in and stuff like that. But
we're
living in a time that voter registration needs to be talked about all across the board, you know.
Yes.
The best way to change, as all of us know, is to get in the position of power. We can march, like you said. We can march, we can protest, but unless we're in that position of power to influence change and stuff, what does it mean? You know. So what does it mean? Okay. Judge Tony, you got anything to add, or should I move on?
No, I was just gonna. I agree with the aspect of voting because for the longest time. I was a Democrat, and it didn't matter who was on the ticket. As long as they were Democrat, I voted for them. But as time went on, I started to really, you know, really see, hey, this person really isn't representing what I feel, you know, is an issue that needs to be addressed. So I've changed to be an independent. And I found myself studying more, you know, between which is the better candidate than who's really associated with a party. So,
right.
you know, it's just, and I do agree, because I had a discussion with someone, it almost turned into an argument when I said, hey, you know, I understand, you know, Black Lives Matter, but we got this killing that's going on with our own people. I mean, just this past week, I lost one of my childhood friends to gun violence.
Wow.
And it's just like, when is Black Lives Matter going to matter to black people? When are we going to stop killing each other? And, you know, maybe if we stop there, then that's when everyone else will start to see, hey, they value themselves now that us also value them as well. So,
right.
You know, it's just like we got to show the same value to us that we're asking other races to place on us as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think when you say that, you know, I think about, you know, a skit that Richard Pryor did some years ago, you know, where he was getting in the ring to box, and the guy that he was getting ready to box was over in the other corner, and the guy was, you know, hitting himself on the chin and stuff like that. And Richard Pryor said, you know, I know he don't care about me because he don't even care about himself, you know. So,
right.
And
right.
that's kind of the analogy that I see there.
I'm going
to place you guys on mute for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. I think also to add with that, and we'll wait for Cleo to come back, but, you know, I'm thinking that when I looked at Black Lives, they only deal with when it comes to police crimes against black, because the percentage rate is, like, I think about 40% or 50% more than any other race. And everything. So, but they have transformed into something else. But the main thing they was dealing with at first, when it comes to us being stopped by the police, no matter whether you're walking or whatever, and the response was in most cases was always more aggressive than what should have been done, and everything like that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. I don't think it has to do, because that issue has come up pretty several times on Facebook, that we're not saying that all lives don't matter, but we're not saying that black lives matter more, but it's more of a thing that we want to be treated with the same respect, you know. But like you said, to go back to, in order to be treated with the same respect, we got to treat each other with the same respect too. And that goes back into as far as black on black crime. And I know that there are people out there say, well, there's white on white crime, there's a more high rate and all that kind of stuff. That may be true too, but we as a people have to come together first. We can't do nothing about anybody, but we can do something about us. And if we begin to come together as a race of people and pool resources together and money together and do things for each other without thinking one trying to get ahead of the other and not get caught up in the trap, I think that we will be even more successful than where we are and stuff. So,
yeah,
I think we'll be successful. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're starting out at a disadvantage, you have to hold yourself to a much higher standard than maybe someone else would have to hold themselves to, because you're starting out, you're in the hole, you're starting out at a disadvantage. You know, as a child born as African American in this country, you come out of the womb at a disadvantage, you know, socially. So, you know, it's so important that we hold ourselves to a higher standard, that we're accountable to you know, to each other, and that's where social change can be made, you know, and
right.
Where it takes, you know, the old saying was it takes a village to raise a child. You know, when I was coming up, you know, not just my grandparents and my parents were could whoop my butt, everybody in the neighborhood with my
buddy.
so I didn't leave the house and think that, because I was out of sight, that I was going to be able to get away with some stuff, especially, because if I did it in front of this one's house, guess what? they had, my grandmother had already given them the right and authority and told me, you do something wrong, they can tear your butt up. When I went to school, you do something wrong, I've already told your teacher, you act up, he or she has the authority to pull your pants down and whoop your tail. I said, okay, I got it.
I think we
and that's just another form of holding each other accountable, you know. And I think we that, you know, when we do that as a people group, we can certainly be better, you know. And so we got to understand, you know, before you can get anywhere where you want to go, you first must know and understand where you are. And if we think that that all things are equal, in most cases they're not. I'm not saying that it's 100% always that way, you know, because everybody doesn't feel that way about different races, you know. There's plenty of people that are on the front lines and in the trenches with the Black Lives Movement that are Caucasian, that are Hispanic, you know. So we just have to know where we are, and then as a people, we got to do better. We got to do better as a people.
Right. 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 Well, we'll go ahead and continue on and everything. This is going to be something a little lighter, of course, you know, we're discussing. But you listen to R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. And Brother Tony and Brother Cleophas is with me today. I'm Brother Ray, Brother Tyrone, and Brother Elson. Hopefully, will be with us next month. Amen. But the next thing is, Tony, we're gonna start some stuff there. It's this whole thing about the Redskin name change. I don't know why I put this back. You know, and stuff like that, because I mean, even though the Redskin names has been a thorn in a lot of people's side for a long time. This is nothing new. And for those that may not know, they're looking at Dan Snyder, the owner, is looking at changing the name after all this year. After 6 years, so he would never change the name.
Never say never.
Never say never. Damn, he's been pressured from all sides, and they messing with his money.
Yeah, and I was about to say that. Well, that was the big reason right there. Was they trying to mess with his money?
Yeah, they messing with the money and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know. Like what Cleophas was saying earlier, I grew up with the name Redskins all my life and everything. Never particularly care for them in a way. I always thought it should have been called something else, but we won't say that on the air. I'm going to be nice today and stuff, because I know Brother Elson's not with us and everything. But I don't know, man. I don't know. And I know that's one of the things that you know that, and you understand how it affects the Native Americans and everything. But from what I read, some don't seem to care. There's some that care, and some don't really care about what the name change is, you know, and stuff like that. So we will see, you know, what kind of name. Okay, so what I've been seeing on social media is the names like the Warriors, the Washington Warriors, or something like that. I don't know, and stuff like that. So Cleo, for you, a Redskin fan, what do you feel, man?
Yeah, that's been the team's name for as long as I've been alive, and before I was born. Does that make it right? No. Here's what I feel. I feel that if one person is offended by that name, change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's going to be people on both sides of the line. There's going to be people that I think there's some Native Americans that would probably tell you that it doesn't bother them. And I would also say that there's some that it probably bothers tremendously. I saw something that came out that said several different, I don't know if they're still called chiefs of tribes, but there was some high-ranking Native Americans that had written to Dan Snyder that, you know, they thought the name was offensive and that he should change the name. And that didn't seem to move him. And Antonio was 1,000% right. You know, the only thing that moved him to change that name was when
his money
started getting affected. And so,
right.
You know,
right.
Look at
the NFL. That's the way. Look what they did, you know? You're like, what?
you know.
Yep.
Now Black Lives, everything that Colin was talking about before,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, he was right. Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They knew he was right then, but, you know, somebody that was the person that's running this country and some other folks, you know, came after him and came after his stand. And again, I'm going to go back to the distraction. The distraction was, you know, it was about the flag and about patriotism and all that. And that had absolutely nothing to do with it. But
right.
Here comes the distraction to get you off of what the real issue is. And now that has been washed. The distraction piece has been washed away because of the George Floyd incident. And now everybody's
right.
Like, oh, he was right. But he was always right.
He was always right.
Yeah, he was
right.
Always right. And to even for anyone to insinuate that that young man didn't get blackballed out of the league is absolutely clueless.
You're
in a dark tunnel somewhere, and you're out of touch reality because he 100% was.
But Tony.
Yeah, that, you know, the name change. I did some research about it with the Redskins name, and it's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Native Americans have been protesting, writing letters. Asking not only the NFL but also Dan Snyder to consider to change the name, and to no avail. And you know, of course, Dan Snyder is all about the dollar. So
mm-hmm.
Once FedEx said, "Hey, we're going to take away our naming rights to your stadium," you know, which is millions of dollars that they stand to lose. You know, then you have other sponsors pulling out. You know, that, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, you know what, I think it's time for a name change. But I kind of think now in this climate, it had to get to a point where the Black Lives Movement kind of spread out to everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this presented a great opportunity for the Native Americans. So I'm actually kind of happy about it because I agree.
Okay.
If one person is offended, then you need to just change the whole name because Redskin kind of in effect is the N-word to us.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be people that's going to be upset about it with the name change. But, you know, and given today's time and climate, I think the change is good. Now, what is the NFL holistically going to do about the racism that exists within the league? You still have basically no black owners in the league. You still have a low percentage of African-American head coaches that's in the league. And given the demographic, that a good portion of the players are African-American. So we still have a long way to go as far as getting, you know, African Americans in those key positions within the league to really drive the change that they say they're going to do. So, and I do agree, Colin Kaepernick did get blackballed.
Yeah. Right.
Do I think he will get another opportunity? I hope so. I really do. But is it a reality that it's going to happen? I don't think so. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that if he got another opportunity, I think it would be good because, you know, he certainly earns that. He certainly deserves that, I should say. But if he doesn't, you know, I think what he has done or what he started, I think that the light has shined upon it and it's caused people, you know, We all want change. You know, what's the hardest thing to change on a person? They're thinking. You know, just because I can look you in the face and tell you that I'm all for you, but in my heart is against you. And so, you know, yes, we want change, but we want sincere change. You know, we want people to that will show forth the love of God, and I know that everybody's not a believer. I understand that, but you know, there's a way that you know, when we were younger, growing up, that people cared for one another. And you know, I can remember walking past, you know, my grandmother's neighbor's house, and they'd be sitting out on the porch. And I don't care if I walk past them 10 times, they spoke 10 times. You know, you can interact or see people in your own neighborhood. I got neighbors in my neighborhood that I don't even know. And I've been living here for 20 years. You know, and so that's where the change starts. You know, start to reach out and know the people in your neighborhood. You know, you can't change the whole world by yourself, but you can certainly affect change in your neighborhood and in your community. You know, in the county you live in, and I think that's where we start with the little, and let's do our part on the little piece, and then we see this thing start to grow, you know, and that's how we make change.
That's how we make change. Amen. Amen. Well, we're almost out of time. We're gonna do a couple of things, and I want to thank my brothers for joining me. This has been an intense conversation. We can probably go on and probably for a little bit longer, but you know, you guys got wives and children and grandkids and all the above going on too. So, but I guess I want to end on a couple of things with the coronavirus and the face mask wearing. I want to encourage people, if you out and about, you know, even though the weather is nice, just be careful. You know, wear the face mask. Don't listen to the experts.
Yeah.
Listen to the experts. Don't listen to politicians because they have other agendas and stuff. But listen to the experts. I was out. I think it was either Thursday or Friday, and everything. And I went to the store. I had my face mask on and everything. And sure enough, this young lady did not have a face. Well, she wasn't young. She was around my age. I guess that's young too, but she did not have a face mask. She just started coughing like crazy inside the store, you know. And I was so upset with her, man. I just looked at her and said, "Really?" You know, and everything. You know, and I couldn't go around her to get, because I was headed to the cashier, so I had to go in the direction she was in. And she never said I'm sorry. She never covered her face. You just start coughing like crazy, and I was like, "That's just great."
Oh,
and all I can say is, "Lord, keep me covered with your blood."
Yeah,
you know, but keep me covered with your blood. So that's my little 2 cents on far as face masks. You know, I encourage the young folks that you're listening. You know, do the right thing. You got family members that you care for. You know, and everything. Just be careful. This thing, I'm a witness of it. It's serious, you know. It ain't fake news.
No.
Someone has to believe it's not fake news. And it's affecting a lot of people. A lot of people are losing their lives. What the things that they talk about a lot of times, they talk about the death, but they never talk about the success stories, you know, the people that came through. And they also never talk about the people that will be affected by this for the rest of their life, you know.
Yep.
Whether it be on dialysis or whatever and stuff, so. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that or not, but, you know, you can if you like and stuff, so.
As Brother Ray said, listen to the experts. Put your mask on.
Put your mask on.
Yeah.
Put your mask on.
That means your faith is weak, Christians. Put your mask on.
That's right.
If you don't understand authority, read Romans chapter 13. It talks about God's authority and the earth. You know, he's put these things in place for us for a reason.
For a reason, yes.
For a reason. God's authority and wisdom goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
goes a long way. Even come to school, when the school started, I mean, nobody has to write out, so we don't know what's going to take place at the end of the month, you know, in August and stuff like that. But we know what God can do. And everything. Yeah. And so everybody got to decide for their own kids. You know, you have to make a decision for yourself and stuff like that. So, but basically, brother, we done. You know, I want Brother Cleo, because I think you open up. So you're gonna close up for me, okay? But
yes,
I want everybody to stay safe, man. Just stay safe out here, okay? I do want, before he does the closing prayer, I do want to remind you that his abounding grace and minister Vanessa Williams is at Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finish Work with Reverend Pat Rand is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast are as follows. Life Found with Apostle Shirley Jones, very first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Nubia Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham, and it's every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month, amen, at 7 p.m. Amen. Marriage Takeover with the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson, amen, is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Amen. And of course, our three Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Aston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. We do have a midday glory prayer called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dialing number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. You can find more information about all these different upcoming broadcasts if you go to winchristianspeak.com. You can also find out more about us and about the broadcast. We've been doing this now for 7 years. 7 years, 2020, amen. So we bless God for those that have been listening for the last 7 years all across the world, broadcast. We have listening base in like 125 different countries. We thank you for listening. We do receive your emails. If you'd like to receive it, send us an email for prayer requests, anything like that, you can do so by going to winchristianspeak@gmail.com. Or just go onto the website, and then you can get to us by that too. Amen. So with that being said, Brother Tony, we can do, you have anything else you would like to say, and then we can turn it over to Brother Cleophas.
No, I'm good. Great discussion. And let's look at ourselves and see what we could do to help advance and truly see that Black Lives Matter within our own community.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Okay,
I would challenge everyone that's under the sound of my voice to, you know, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and if you have access to it, read it in the Amplified Bible. Very powerful reading about love. Everybody knows that's the love chapter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this day that you have made, for we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, your word says that if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then will I hear from them and heal their land. Father, I pray that as a human race, Father, not black, not white, not Asian, not Puerto Rican, not Hispanic, but as a people, Father, that we will turn from our wicked ways. We will humble ourselves, and we will pray unto you, Father, to heal our land. Father, I pray for each and every man that has been on this call this evening. Those that were absent, I lift them up in prayer, Father. Father, I thank you for, I lift up those who have been affected by COVID-19, Father. We lift up those that have been affected by injustice and inequality, those that have lost their lives along the way, Father. Father, we thank you that you're still on the throne, Father. We thank you that you are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is no other. We thank you that you are the God of all flesh. And, Father, we just lift you up now and give you all praise, glory, and honor for all things, because we know and understand that no good thing will you withhold from them that love you, Father, and that are called according to your purpose. And, Father, we just thank you now. We thank you that as we depart from these airways, Lord, that you will be with us. We thank you that angels are encamped about us to keep and protect us in all of our ways. And, Lord, if there be one that has heard this broadcast tonight that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, Father, we pray, Father, right now, in the matchless name of Jesus, that they would turn their hearts toward Jesus. They would receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives, Father. And it's very simple. Just have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God has raised him from the dead, and that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, ever interceding on our behalf. Believe that in your heart. Confess it with your mouth, and you're saved. Thank you, Father, for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate you. Love you much. We miss you, too, Brother Ty. We miss you, Brother Elson. Hope to see you next time. Amen. Y'all be blessed. You've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. So Brother Tony, Brother Elson, Cleopas, Tyrone, and I'm Brother Ray. We'll see you next month. Amen. The second Sunday. Amen. In August. God bless you. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Hey, God bless you guys.
Good night, guys. God bless you.